I know that we do have some visitors here with us this morning, and so if you would take your bulletins out, your worship folders, there are a couple things in them for our visitors. Actually, we have sermon notes that we use every week, and there's all kind of commotion. They're going to have all kinds of fun, and you guys have to stay here. Isn't that a bummer? So there's sermon notes if you want to follow along that you can use. And also there's a second insert that says mark your calendar September 29. In 2 weeks we will have a congregational meeting. And in that congregational meeting it'll be a part of the regular service. We will elect two people from the nominating committee. And also we're updating our bylaws. It's not a major update. It's basically just adding the Christian Missionary Alliance statement of faith to our bylaws, to strengthen our bylaws, so that if anyone wonders, well, what do we really stand for in our bylaws, it is the statement of faith of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and that'll happen on the 29th. And in case you're wondering why I'm bringing this up, because the bylaws require that it is announced and posted 2 weeks prior to the meeting, so that we don't pull a quickie on you, okay? That's what it's all about. I would tease some people, but I'm not going to do that. Hey, this week, this is a sermon title, and if you looked at the worship folder, you would know what DEE stands for. It stands for divine. Anyone know what the first E stands for? Boy, no one pays any attention. Wait till I tell our secretary. Divine expectation and engagement, DEE. We're not going to be in Mark. We've been starting in the Gospel of Mark, but this week at District Prayer Conference, I was greatly impacted by prayer conference. It was a really great time, spiritual, refreshing. And this is a new theme that they're going to introduce and continue for the next couple of years, this DE, divine, what's the first E stand for? You know why I'm asking is because I can't remember. So divine expectation and engagement. That's what it's about. And so we're going to take a look at that, and because I think it's really exciting. Here at Buckhannon Alliance Church, for the visitors here, we are all about walking in intimacy with God. I believe that's the reason for our existence, to walk in intimacy with God, and then simply invite others to do the same thing. Walking in intimacy with God. You know, there's this modern theology. It's actually not modern, but it's called deism, where they say that God created everything and then he just stepped away. And you use principles and concepts and from scripture and stuff like that to accomplish what you want in life. That is a lie from the pit. Deism is a lie from the pit. The reality is God created the universe and he is involved in the universe. He loves you and delights in you and wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And that's on a daily basis. He wants to have that. And that's what this DEE is all about. This D is all about. Divine, what's the first D? Expectation. Here, I'll put it up. That's the next slide. Divine expectation and engagement. And by the way, if you see it in blue and underlined and in that different font, that means that's a blank in the sermon notes in case you want to take notes in the sermon. So DEE, divine expectation and engagement. And that's what we're going to be looking at. God is at work. He's at work in the believer. He is at work around the believer. And God is at work through the believer. So we're going to back up a little bit. For some of you, this is old and boring. This is a slide that I created a long time ago. Adam and Eve before the fall, everything was perfect. Man, I am looking forward to getting to heaven because everything's going to be perfect again. I can eat all I want and not gain weight. I'm not going to have a bad knee. I should say bad knees, not a bad back. I won't get tired. I won't get a cold. By the way, I am officially allergic to my grandkids. I visited them last Sunday after our picnic. I drove up to Erie. I spent the evening with them, and there was this green stuff coming out of one of their noses, and I got it, you know. I love my grandkids. It's worth it, but I'm telling you, I'm allergic to those little rugrats. I get a cold every time, it seems like. So either I have a weak immune system or they got strong bugs. I'm not sure which it is, or a combination thereof. But there were no colds in the Garden of Eden. No colds, no thorns, no nothing. Everything was perfect. There was perfect communion between God and man. In fact, it talks about God walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. How cool is that? God with us. In fact, that's one of Jesus' names and titles, Emmanuel, which means God's with us. Jesus came to reestablish that relationship with us. So in the garden, with Adam and Eve before the fall, we have body, soul, and spirit. Everything is perfect. But then someone wanted to play God. Someone wanted to be God. In fact, that was a temptation. If you eat of this, you'll be like God. So we don't need God. We can just do this and we can be gods. That's deism all over the place. God created, but I want to be in control. Anyone here a control freak like me? Gee, there's not many honest people here today. Okay, so they chose to be God, and instantly the body began to decay and die, and it still is today. Amen on that? Any of you guys tired of this body that just gets weaker and weaker no matter how hard we try? Then the soul is corrupted by sin and selfishness. Anyone here selfish? All right, everyone, please raise your hand. We all are plagued with it. I mean, just think about the last time you had cake or pie. Which piece did you take, the biggest or the smallest? You know what I mean? When you're at the restaurant and there's servings passed out, do you look at everyone else's serving to see if you got as much? Hey, maybe it's only a guy thing. Maybe girls never do that, but I'm telling you, here we are, okay? And then the other thing is that the spirit, that part of us that can commune with God, died so that we cannot commune with God. But Jesus came so that we could have oneness with him. Once a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, and when they're born again, there is a new birth. They receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit now is alive. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, is what Scripture says. And then even a step beyond that, that the Alliance believes, the Christian Mission Alliance believes, and I believe with all my heart, is that not only is there a step of being born again, but there's a full surrender and we grant full access and the Holy Spirit gets more of us. It's not that we get more of the Holy Spirit, he gets more of us. And then something really cool begins to happen. In fact, it can happen even when you're first born again, this divine expectation. And here's Webster's definition. To anticipate, to await, look for, hope for, watch for, look forward to. And now, here's something. Anyone ever heard of the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon? Good, because I can make it up and you guys won't know what it means. Bader-Meinhof. This is something that is very real and true. And we're going to have a video, a YouTube video. It's short. It's only 1.5 minutes or something like that. Can we play that video? I just forward it and it happens.
After someone tells you about something you didn't know or never thought about, it starts to appear everywhere. Well, there's actually a name for that. Let's say you're talking with one of your friends who is going on about how many birds there are in town. They're everywhere, he says. Everywhere I turn, there are more. Later that day, you're walking home and you notice there are more birds than usual. Was your friend right? Are they actually everywhere? The next day, you're at the park with friends, and all you can hear are the birds. Now, everywhere you go, there's more birds than you've ever noticed before in your town. It's not just a coincidence. There's a name for it. The Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. It goes like this. After you find out something new, two psychological processes go into effect. First, you develop selective attention. After you're struck by a new word or thing, you unconsciously keep an eye out for it and will end up finding its way. Second, you form a confirmation bias. Each sighting of the thing is further proof and reassurance that the thing is all of a sudden cropped up everywhere. So who is Bader-Meinhof? No, it's not the name of a German guy who invented the term. It's actually the name of an ultra-left-wing German terrorist group. When someone in 1994 posted on a discussion board that he had heard this not well-known terrorist group's name twice in 24 hours, commenters dubbed the situation the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon, and it blew up online. In 2006, a Stanford linguistics professor named Arnold Zwicky published the psychology behind the phenomenon, and the rest is history. So, next time your friend doesn't know what it's called when you start seeing something everywhere, you can run in and tell him it's called the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon.
Okay, so now, what's it called? Bader-Meinhof. And why did I even bring that up? It's because, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I bought a car for my wife, Lynette, and because she had back surgery and needed a car that didn't hurt her back and that kind of thing. And we went and bought a Toyota Camry. I had never noticed a Toyota Camry in my life until I bought one. And then they were freaking everywhere. Have you ever done that? That's the Bader Meinhof. Once it's brought to your attention and you notice something, you start seeing it all over the place. And that's what we're talking about, divine expectation. God is at work all over the place. I promise you that He is. But most of the time, we don't even notice it. I can't tell you how many people talk to me from our church, and they tell me about this experience, how that God revealed this or convicted of this and that and that. And then in the next breath, I never hear from God. I need to hear God's voice. I'm like, that was an encounter with God. That was an encounter with God. I encountered God this morning when I came up the road. I came here early because I got communion ready for the elders and stuff, and I like just coming here early. And so I watched the sunrise. It was phenomenal this morning. Anyone else see it? It was beautiful. Except I grew up on the Chesapeake Bay, and they take the biblical expression, red at night, sailor's delight, red in morning, sailor's warning. So I don't know what's coming, but something's coming because it was pretty red this morning. It was pretty red, okay? It was very beautiful. But, you know, when I see a deer, when the Lord sends a deer my way, I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you. When I feel conviction at district conference this week, I got the snot convicted out of me, literally, but all of it didn't come out, but I got convicted. And I'm sitting there thinking, thank you, Lord. Your conviction upon me is an encounter with you because you care enough for me that you're convicting me. And I'm telling you this, Bader Meinhof, once you realize, wow, that was an encounter with the Lord, you're going to start seeing them all over the place because they are all over the place. It's just that we don't notice it. What's the name of it? Bader Meinhof. And I don't care if you remember the name. I want you to realize that once you encounter the Lord and you start seeing His activeness in your life, you're going to start seeing more and more and more and more of it. It's there. It's just that you don't notice it. And John, Jesus talks about this in John 14. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. Can we look forward to the Lord doing stuff through us? Did He promise stuff's going to happen? He did. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. That's what Jesus said. We're not only to do what He does, but He's going to do even greater things through us. But do we expect it? I can promise you, I like hunting. Now, for years, all I've done is take my gun for walks. So I'm not really good at this illustration, but I can promise you that if I draw back and I don't think I'm going to hit it, guess what? I ain't going to hit it. But if I'm certain, if I have confidence and I have an expectation that when I let that baby go, it's going to go right into the heart, chances are it's going to go right into the heart. I don't care what you're talking about. Just think about it in your own life. Whatever activity. If you think you're going to fail, guess what? You're probably going to fail. But if you have this expectation that something's good to happen, it's probably going to happen. And it's not that you are making it happen. I'm talking about God active in our lives. And recognize that He is active. Our words don't have power. So I can't say, give me $1 million, there's going to be $1 million. It's not our words. It's God is at work. And when we start recognizing it, we're going to see it all over the place. And we should have an expectation that He's going to be there, that He's going to be at work. Do we have an expectation that God's going to continue to heal Phil? I do. I do. I believe it. He's already. Phil told you this morning he could have had he was bit in the face. He could have had an artery, but God intervened. Any amens out there? That's pretty bad when you got to ask for amens. It's almost as bad as you got to explain your jokes, which I usually have to too. Okay, so divine expectation and divine engagement. Engagement is an arrangement to be present with, or you can think of that we're engaged to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is at work. Do engaged people hang out together? Do engaged people do things together? Do engaged people expect things from each other? Yes. 2 Corinthians 5. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Now I'm going to back up a little bit. God is at work in the believer. God is at work in the believer. Do you believe that? Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in all Jerusalem and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to its completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Is God at work in us? Now, some of us don't think that he is, because we don't recognize his work in our life. But I promise you that if we will ask the Holy Spirit, Paul says, open the eyes of my heart, O Lord. If we ask him to open our eyes to see his hand at work, we will see his hand at work all over the place. Even conviction. It just so reminds me, so many people over the years, because I'm as old as dirt almost, and they've come to me and said, Pastor, I'm just terrified that I've committed the unpardonable sin. I'm terrified that I have. You've heard me say this before. That's the one guarantee that you didn't do it. Because if you did do it, you wouldn't care. But you're worried that you did. It's proof that you didn't. That worry is a gift from God. It's God at work in your life. He wants to show you something. I'm not sure what it is. But he loves you and delights in you. And he's at work in you. And he's promised this. Being confident of this, he who began a good work in you. You know, is the sun going to come up tomorrow morning? You can't prove it, but statistically, it's a probability. You know, every time the sun comes up, we should rejoice. God finishes what he starts. I don't know about you, but I have an advanced degree and half done. If you went in my garage, first, you'd be offended because of the mess. But second, if you start to look closer, you'd see all kinds of half-done projects, all kinds of half-dones. But, you know, I believe that we're like brownies. Anyone ever eaten half-done brownies? They are delicious, aren't they? We're like half-done brownies. We still taste good. But God, it's proof every morning when the sun comes up, every new week, every new fall, spring, and winter is proof that God finishes what he starts. And this is the promise. He began a good work and you will bring it about to its completion. He will bring it about to its completion. He will. Now, I try and I fail. I did not lift weights this week. I did not want to be embarrassed that I can only do 135 pounds. So I decided not. Now you want to work with me again, don't you? Scott offered to work out with me a long time ago. And then when I was benching like 275, he's like, they're right. Now that I'm a wimp again. That is creative license. Last week, I am slow on the uptake. I've said that from the very beginning. So Scott's mother-in-law, I stopped by to visit her, and she said, can you find the gas gauge on this thing? And I had my polarized lens on. I looked in there. I couldn't see it. I didn't see it. So I came back up here on my computer, and I printed off the owner's manual for this it's side-by-side, I guess. Scott came over that night, and he looked in there. It's right there. What's that boy, blind? I don't know what he said. But next day I brought the manual. You know, I printed it off and put it in a little folder and gave it to her. And I said, it should be right there. And when I first looked in, I had my sunglasses on again. I'm like, man, I don't see it. Took my sunglasses off and put my cheaters on. And I'm like, good grief, it's right there. And so she said, now Scott's going to tease you a little bit. So last Sunday, Scott comes up to me after the service down at the pavilion, and he says, you know, my truck, the gas gauge isn't working. Can you help me? And I said, you know, Dorsey's got to be around here somewhere. Total. Later on, I went and sat with him and his precious wife after the meal. You know, we were just fellowshipping, and the theme came up again, and it finally hit me. It hit me an hour later. He was talking about that, and I was even pre-warned. I'm telling you, I am slow on the uptake. Slow on the uptake. Slow on the uptake. So I'll get something a week later, maybe a month later, I don't know. Anyway, but this is truth. God said, he who began a good work in you, he will bring it about to its completion. Is God a liar? Does God do what he says? Is he going to finish a good work in us? Yes, yes, yes. But we tend to not believe it. He will carry it on until the day that Jesus Christ returns. God is at work in us. And now here's the next thing. God is at work around us. He's at work around us. And here's the scripture passage. You know, Jesus said, and we're going to get to it. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. So here we go. This is the passage. For my Father, and by the way, I put it in red and underlined it because I know that some people might have difficulty seeing red. So it's underlined and italicized. So these are the words of Jesus. My Father is always at work to this very day. I too am working. Is Jesus a liar? Is God at work? He is. He's not only at work in us, he's at work around us. So when you have someone come to me, I was playing basketball with some old geezer one time, and Lynette was diagnosed with cancer, and he came to me and said, man, how can you have such peace? Was God at work in his life? Yes. I wasn't slow that day. I said, man, you got one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel, dude. It's time. Now, to my knowledge, he never did pray to receive Christ. God is at work around us. He is. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill Jesus. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. By the way, is God the Father our dad too? Anyone ever hear say the Lord's Prayer? Man, how's it start off? Our Father. How cool, how cool, how cool is that? I told you guys once, there's this old man. There was a property dispute on one of the properties I owned, a house we owned, and I put a fence up. I was pouring concrete, putting a fence up, and this old guy, I had my land surveyed. He came over and said I was 18 inches on his property. Man, he's poking me in the chest, and he is yelling and screaming and swearing. Finally, I just said, look, dude, you don't know who my dad is. He's going to put a hurting on you. He's going to whoop up on you. You better stop. He's like, who's your dad? My dad is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the next week, my next day off, I dug all those things up and moved it 3 feet back. He came out yelling and screaming. I said, I'm 3 feet back. Are you okay now? He kept on yelling and screaming. And I told him again, do you remember what I told you last week? You don't know who my dad is. Now, it may have been coincidence or not, but within a month, the guy was dead. I didn't do anything, but dad probably did. Now, it could have been coincidence, but I'm telling you, our Father means something. He is our Abba Father. We can cry out, Abba Father. I told you, at one of the camp meetings I was in charge of, I kept praying to Abba Father and calling him dad in heaven. And I got hate mail. Who do you think you are saying that God is your father? It's what scripture says. Scripture says we cry out, Abba Father, which means dad. Now, I don't call him daddy. It actually means daddy. I say dad in heaven, father in heaven. He loves you and he delights in you. He cares about you. And if you have any conviction, that is an encounter with God. Let's go on. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. Have you guys learned that you can't do anything by yourself yet? Anything of eternal significance. Now, I can sin well. I'm pretty good at that. I got that down. I can be selfish. I can get mad at traffic. Hey, this week I was actually kind. I'm sitting at the light, and someone's wanting to turn left in front of me, so I flash my lights, and they go, and so I start taking off. Then the second person tried to squeeze in too. Man, I slammed on, slid, just missed them. I can be nice once in a while, but consistently, no. But Cannon is rubbing off on me, letting lefties go first, you know? It's just rubbing off. Are you with me? Someday I'll be a lefty and I'll appreciate it. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. This is Jesus talking. This is Jesus saying the Son of Man can't do anything. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Is God at work around us? Was God at work around Jesus? And Jesus was just doing what the Father showed him. I'm telling you. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. But it's got to begin with a divine expectation. Do we expect it? If you don't expect anything, guess what? You're probably going to miss it all. You can be just like me. You can be slow in the uptake. I don't want anyone to be slow in the uptake like me. I want you to recognize God's fingerprints all over your life. Because it's the only place to be. And then here's the coolest thing of all. God invites us so that he can work through us. You know, we took an offering a little bit ago. And if the elders get on me, they get on me. I don't think they will. But you know what? God does not need your money. He doesn't need my money. He's God. But he invites us to participate in what he's going to do. He invites us to participate in what he's going to do. How cool is that? He's at work in us. He's at work around us. And now he invites us to join with him in what he wants to do. Just like what Pastor Trevor said this morning, we've got a little mini retreat this afternoon with the elders. We're going to fast and pray and seek the Lord. And I promise you, we do not have plans and going to ask him to bless them. That's backwards. Please don't raise your hand, but I'm telling you, for years I made all these plans and asked God to bless them. I don't do that anymore. I ask him what his plans are, and then I ask him to use me for him to accomplish his will through me. You see the difference? One is God is Santa Claus. Hey, bless my stuff, bless my family. Just think about the last time you prayed. Did you pray for God's will or God's protection? Now, please hear me. If God led you to pray for protection, you pray for protection. But most of the time, we're so self-centered in our prayers, we don't even realize it. Bless me, bless my family, bless. Rather than, Dad in heaven, what's your will? You're at work in me, you're at work around me, and now you're inviting to work through me. And by the way, if you blow it, it's okay, because God will just use you as a bad example. John Calvin, the guy that, you know, the sovereignty of God, God is so sovereign. His assistant, I made this up, okay? This is not true. I'm making this up. So his assistant came to him one day and said, I'm really concerned. I think I'm going to be a failure. How can God use me? Don't worry, son. He'll just use you as a bad example. If you didn't get that, that's okay. I'm sure it wasn't of the Lord. It was me. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Here's the biblical evidence for what I'm saying. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Is that cool news? You see, Romans tells us that the old man, that part of us that was from the fall, we died. We died. And this old man came to life. And he rejected God, and he wants to do his own thing. He was like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. Romans 6 says that that old man was crucified with Christ. Therefore, we can be a new creation. He goes on to say in Romans 7 that when a spouse dies, the surviving spouse is free to remarry. How exciting is that? We were the old man, married to the old man. He died, and now we can marry Jesus and be his betrothed. Are you guys awake? This is exciting stuff. We're the betrothed of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but when I was betrothed to Lynette, I protected that girl. Even after she said yes, it took a long time. By the way, that was 8 years betrothing her. Took 8 years to convince that girl to say yes. And I heard stories that you came and stole from here, buddy. So you're welcome, but we forgive, okay? If any man be in Christ, Jesus, you don't, if you haven't been here a long time, you have no idea what I'm talking about. This guy came shopping for a young lady and he found one here in our church. And some have never forgiven, but we are forgiving of, okay? And yeah, he's natural. He's got a suntan there. That's not anything else. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And it keeps on going. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through who? Through us. I believe that's why Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, not hunters. When I hunt, I blow something away with the biggest gun I got. I shot my 460 in the other day. It's a hand cannon. I'm telling you, anything that gets in front of that bullet's dead. I probably don't even have to hit the animal. Just get close to it, and the percussion will probably kill it. But when you fish, you use bait. Amen? Are you with me? Use bait, a lure or a worm or something dangling in front of that. Believe me, you're the bait. We are the bait. We're the bait. God is making his appeal through us. We're the bait. So are you stinky bait or are you good bait? We're expendable. Bait's expendable. But you know, some worms, if they're too long out, man, they start smelling and that ain't going to work. This is all free, this last little bit, okay? It wasn't in the message. It's not even in green. Okay, so here we are. Peace be with you, as the Father sent me. Was Jesus a pleasing aroma to God? And Paul talks about us being a pleasing aroma. To those who are perishing, it's a smell of death. But to those who are receiving the gospel, we're this pleasant aroma. You see, God is at work in us. He's at work around us. I promise you, at your new business, there's people that come in there that God's at work in their life, and God wants to use you guys to impact them. I don't care where you work. You know, Scott's got to fly an awful lot. I believe that God's going to put people in that plane next to him because God is at work in their life. I remember one time, every time when I used to have to travel my last ministry position, and you've probably heard this story before. I apologize if it's boring. But so we prayed, my team and I would take the five of us each time, and we would pray beforehand, Lord, put us next to someone. And so the plane was delayed, so we're sitting in this place, and there's this individual that is obnoxious and mean and nasty. And I'm like, Lord, please not her. Please not her. Guess who got her? And so I'm ignoring her. I'm working on stuff. And she looks over at me and she says, you're a preacher, aren't you? Oh. Oh. So for like 2.5 hours, I am theologically debating with her because she doesn't believe in God. She's an agnostic. She says you cannot know. And I'm saying, by the very statement, you cannot know is a knowing statement. Your very statement that you cannot know implies that you know. And by the way, you're doing it right now. You're critiquing me. You're judging me. You're saying you know the truth, and you're telling me I don't. You have to know the truth to say this isn't truth. 2.5 hours of this. And one of my teammates in front of me, he's sitting there, and I hope you get this kind. The girl looks over to him and says, you know, my grandpa just prayed to receive Christ. Do you know what that means? How disgusting is that? I had a 2.5 hour theological debate, philosophical, theological debate. And actually, in a part of our conversation, she said, your friend's doing it to her right now, isn't he? I said, yeah. You want it too, don't you? Oh, she was very kind, okay? I still pray for her to this day. Ironically, she was a theological professor at a liberal university and doesn't believe in God. How scary is that? God is at work in us. He's at work around us. And he wants to work through us. That's what Jesus said. And Jesus says, as the Father sent me. Isn't that what? If you look at Jesus' life and the apostles, man, Peter and John, they're going into the temple. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. God was at work in them, around them, and then through them. There was an expectancy. And that's the beginning of it. I believe most of us have no expectation at all, no divine expectation. We just figure today's going to be a day like yesterday. We're going to get up, we're going to work, we're going to go home, we're going to fall asleep, get up, do it all over again. No, 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 no. God is at work in us. He's at work around us, and he wants to work through us. But we need to look for it and see. Let's pray for that divine expectancy. That we expect God to do something cool. Or at least we recognize it. We recognize the sunset. Actually, it was sunrise. We recognize those tiny things and thank him for it. And then the Bader Meinhof will kick in. You will begin to see it more and more and more. I got a dark blue Chevy truck. I didn't look at Chevy trucks before. Now I see them all over the place. And everybody's got a Chevy truck. Not everybody, but it seems like it. Okay, there's some Ford people here, or Dodge people. I apologize. That's a different principle. But I'm telling you, I promise you, as we start looking with anticipation, expectantly, God's going to reveal stuff. And he'll do it more and more and more and more. He is at work. It's what the scripture says. And Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. As an old preacher I once heard say, you might be the only Jesus that someone sees today. And it's true. It's true. I don't even know how to end this rascal. So, if our worship leader could come up, and I'm going to have prayer. Whatever the Holy Spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit's been speaking to everyone here. I believe that. I believe it. I believe he has. I believe he's touched every single person here, unless you just turned it all off. But that's between you and God. So, whatever the Holy Spirit whispered to you, just act on it. That's all. Just act on, he's smarter than I am. He knows what he whispered to you. Just act on whatever the Holy Spirit said, because I believe that he is at work in me. He's at work here, and he wants to flow through me. And so I just believe that he's touched you guys, however he chose. So please, just respond to whatever the Lord said. I'm going to close in prayer, then we're going to have a worship song, and then I'm going to pronounce a benediction. This altar is always open. On this side, it's silent prayer. If you just want to be left alone, you're welcome to come and pray here. On this side, it says requesting assistance. On this side, where that brick is falling out, ADD. Oh, well. On this side, if you want someone to pray with you, just come. There's nothing special about this. Just come. Whatever the Holy Spirit has nudged you, you can do everything right where you are. Only come forward if the Holy Spirit nudges you. Because this isn't about pleasing anyone. It's responding to him. Oh, let me go a little bit further here so that you know what to talk about. In your opinion, how important is divine expectation? For those who are visiting, for lunch, I'm asking you to ask these questions of each other. And these questions are at the end of the sermon notes. Okay? In your opinion, as you share a meal together, except for the elders, they're going to be with me, and we're going to be fasting and seeking the Lord together. In your opinion, how important is divine expectation? What do you think about the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon? How has it happened to you? In your opinion, how important is divine engagement? And now we'll pray. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, I believe that you have been at work in me. You are at work in those at District Conference, and you impressed upon me, and you have formed this message in me, and you're at work in us here. And you've invited me to be an instrument in your hands to deliver this message. And what you've done for me, you do for every one of us. And so, Holy Spirit, whatever you have said or done or influenced, whatever you have done here, I just ask that you would empower each one of us to respond and say yes to you. And I also ask that you would open the eyes of my heart and the eyes of our hearts so that we would see you at work and that we would have that divine expectation. And we would begin seeing you all over the place. And then there would be an engagement where you would flow through us. And may this world be changed one person, one encounter at a time, because you are at work in us. You're at work around us. And you are at work flowing through us. So, Holy Spirit, we commit ourselves to you. Father in heaven, in the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.